online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh. In this bulletin, NPHET says 90% of over 16s should be fully vaccinated before any further easing of restrictions takes place. That mark's unlikely to be reached until October. Crowding and social distancing challenges have been raised as concerns on the potential return to full capacity on public transport. That's expected to start next week. The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council urges the HSE to establish a new COVID-19 vaccination centre in Inishowen to replace the one that's closed at Carndonagh Community School. SIPTU warns ambulance shortages are no longer the rare occurrences they once were, and concerns mount for a missing dairy man who could be in Killybegs. Later in the bulletin, Kenny's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. And it's a Thursday. Chris Ashmore will be here with farming news and views directly after the sport. We begin, though, with the latest on COVID-19. And NPHET says 90% of over 16s should be fully vaccinated before any further easing of restrictions. That mark's unlikely to be reached until October. Public health officials have written to the government with this advice ahead of a roadmap being published next Tuesday. The Irish Independent's Hugh O'Connell says NPHET's letter will be considered at a cabinet subcommittee meeting that's taking place tomorrow.
It's unclear, really, what it says in relation to whether any restrictions could be released in the interim 6 weeks between now and October, obviously, and perhaps it could be longer into October before the legal restrictions would be lifted. So could, for example, the COVID pass system currently being used for indoor hospitality be expanded to other sectors, as the Taoiseach Sinéad Radcliffe is pushing for example? And what about the entertainment sector? To what extent could the COVID pass be used for that? That's unclear.
Crowding and social distancing challenges have been raised as concerns mount with the proposed full return to full capacity on public transport. That's expected to progress next week. The Irish Congress of Trade Unions has written to the Taoiseach asking for consideration of a staggered return to work to prevent overcrowding. Junior Transport Minister Hildegard Nocton is encouraging people to use public transport, but she's stressing that masks are still compulsory.
I think we are in a very more a positive space now in relation to, you know, easing restrictions and doing that, you know, in a phased way, which we have been doing quite successfully. But we would be asking people to really make that consideration to get on public transport now if you're going to work where you can to use those facilities.
Figures published this afternoon show that in the 2 weeks to midnight on Tuesday, there were 1,781 COVID-19 cases in Donegal. That's a 14-day incidence rate of 1,118.8 cases per 100,000 people. It compares to a national rate of 531.9. It's the third highest incidence rate in the country after Monaghan and Cavan. 1,550 new cases of COVID-19 have been reported in Northern Ireland over the past 24 hours. Another four virus-related deaths have also been confirmed north of the border. 376 people are in hospital with the virus there, 41 of them in intensive care units. Anyone aged 12 and older who hasn't yet received their first dose of vaccine can do so at a walk-in clinic at the vaccination centre in Letterkenny this weekend. Those waiting for their second Pfizer dose may also attend the clinic at LYIT once the interval between doses has been reached. The centre is open on Saturday from 1 to 4 and on Sunday from 8:30 to 4. All details on our website, highlandradio.com. The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council is urging the HSE to establish a new COVID-19 vaccination centre in Inishowen. The centre at Carndonagh Community School has now closed to facilitate the start of the new academic year. But Councillor Jack Murray says the job is nowhere near complete on the peninsula. The clinic opened at Carndonagh Community School on June 30th. People will now have to travel to Letterkenny Institute of Technology to receive their second jab or their first jab after this week. But Councillor Jack Murray says rather than removing the service from Inishowen completely, alternative venues should be considered.
When it was launched just 2 months ago, it seemed as onwards said that the vaccination clinic would greatly enhance the accessibility of the vaccine. We're regularly informed that the vaccine is the way out of this pandemic. We know that there's going to be a rollout of the booster program very soon, so the job is nowhere near complete. So I don't know why we would be taking a step back. Even when it was first launched, with GPs and pharmacies were already doing it, and the HSE, by their own words, had said that this would assist that, supplement that, and improve accessibility. The booster program is going to be targeted initially at the older population, and that's a population that has at least somewhat of access to travel. So traveling to Letterkenny for those people, particularly in the likes of Malham Head, it's a long journey. So I don't think we should be putting up barriers or creating any extra difficulties in accessing the vaccine. It should be made as easy and accessible as possible. There's GA clubs, soccer clubs, community centres, there's buildings all across any show that could have been used. So I think rather than the school needs it, that's fine. School needs their centre back, that's fine. But we should be looking at other accessible venues where it can continue, because it shouldn't be to the detriment of the vaccine rollout.
And that was Councillor Jack Murray there. Well, the HSE is again stressing that pharmacies are offering vaccines as well, and those in areas who find it difficult to get to Letterkenny can check with their local pharmacy to see what pharmacy close to them are offering the service. SIPTU has warned that ambulance shortages are no longer the rare occurrence that they used to be. On a number of occasions recently, no ambulance was available to respond to calls in Donegal, with crews having to travel from other parts of the country. One incident involved a Garda patrol car being used to respond to an emergency call and transfer a patient to Letterkenny University Hospital. Kieran Sheridan is SIPTU Health Divisional Organiser. On today's 9 till noon show, he said shortages right across the country are having a significant impact on services in Donegal. He cited one case last week in which a Donegal crew ended up responding to an emergency in Belmullet in County Mayo.
I was talking to a control, a dispatcher this morning, just to check information. I'll just give an example of what's happening on the ground. There was a recent call, a Donegal crew, and you may find this incredible, responded to a call in Belmullet on the western seaboard, and frighteningly, they actually met it and treated and transported the patient. But when they looked at it afterwards, how did this happen? Now, the Donegal crew may have been in Sligo at the time. The reason that may have happened is the opinion of a very experienced dispatcher, that that emanated from a shortage of crews in the southeast. And I'm talking Waterford down that area. Crews from the Midwest, South Tipperary, South Clare, Limerick, were brought down into the southeast. And that had the domino effect of all the Galway crews, the Mayo crews dropping down.
Concerns are mounting for a missing dairyman, Francis McMenamin, who's believed to have travelled to Killybegs. The 57-year-old who's missing from the Bogside area of the city was last seen at lunchtime on Monday. Francis is believed to be carrying a grey-blue bag over his shoulder with the word man bag written in white on the front. There's a picture of Francis on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, Councillor Terry Cross and a friend of the McMenamin family says a man fitting Francis' description was spotted in Killybegs yesterday.
I got a call from a girl in Killybegs last night who was almost 100% sure that she saw him. I called her and asked, could she give a description of him? And she mentioned that he was carrying a small grey bag. When I contacted his brother, he says he goes nowhere without that wee bag. So, I mean, there's a very good chance that it was him.
At least 13 people, some of them children, have died following an explosion at Kabul Airport in Afghanistan. The US Pentagon says it happened near the Abbey Gate, where American and British forces have been stationed. Initial reports suggest there were two explosions and gunfire. It comes after warnings of a possible terrorist attack by Islamic State militants. Countries including Ireland have been trying to evacuate citizens and visa holders still in Kabul. Sky's Stuart Ramsey says it's likely to speed up the withdrawal of Western troops.
The risk will not go away, it'll actually increase. And we already know that some countries had already said the risk is too high and we're withdrawing anyway. That could be the end of it. It is a hugely significant event because of that alone. Days earlier than the expected withdrawal.
Irish Water are to carry out works in Killybegs to reduce the high level of leakage and bursts in the area. Works to replace over 300 metres of problematic old water main will begin in the Shore Road area in the coming weeks. The utility says the works being carried out in partnership with Donegal County Council will ensure a more reliable water supply in the area. The leader of the DUP, Geoffrey Donaldson, will meet with the Taoiseach in Dublin tomorrow. The visit will centre on the issues of Brexit and the Northern Ireland Protocol. Mr Donaldson says tomorrow's meeting with Micheál Martin is part of a series of engagements aimed at challenging key stakeholders about what he said was the damage being caused to Northern Ireland by the Protocol. Drivers are being urged to slow down while approaching schools, with a significant increase in traffic expected over the coming days. The advice comes after over 720 drivers were detected speeding across the country yesterday. Gardaí say August was a horrific month on Irish roads, with crashes claiming the lives of 20 people. The North's infrastructure minister says she will visit Strabane shortly to discuss the impact of recent flooding. There have been repeated floods in the Ballycommon estate and Pierce Gardens in recent years, with claims there may be a major structural problem within Strabane's flood protection and general infrastructure systems. West Tyrone MLA Melissa McHugh is hoping that Nicola Mallon's visit will progress efforts to identify and resolve the problems.
So it's a very, very welcome acknowledgement by Minister Mallon as well to come to the Ballycommon and to meet the residents of Ballycommon and Pierce Gardens and that, and to just sort of experience firsthand from them what it is that they have endured now on numerous occasions over this last number of years, and hopefully that as a result of that same meeting that the Minister will be in a position to prioritise the works that will be needed in order to address the flooding issues in that area.
And indeed, the flooding in Strabane has been an ongoing issue over the past few years. Do you feel finally perhaps the Minister going to Strabane, meeting with the residents in the Ballycommon and Pierce Gardens and other areas of the town where this flooding has been so prevalent, do you think that will finally lead to a set in stone solution and plan from the Northern Executive to tackle the flooding issue?
Yeah, I think what actually has instigated this more than anything else has been the response by the residents of Ballycommon themselves. Over 1,000 people had signed a petition in relation to this issue, and that really brings to bear on the Minister to sort of acknowledge the conditions that the people find themselves living in. And I would know that whenever she meets with the residents of that area, that I'm sure that will encourage her to place this as her highest priority in terms of areas that are suffering under flooding, which we all know too is likely to reoccur in the future unless these basic structural issues in that are addressed.
West Tyrone MLA Melissa McHugh. And 20 field supervisors are being sought in Donegal by the CSO ahead of Census 2022, which takes place on April 3rd next. The jobs will operate on a fixed contract between January 4th and May 20th. The application form is available on the CSO website. In November, the campaign to recruit up to 200 enumerators will begin. Eileen Murphy is head of Census Administration with the CSO.
We're heading into the operational phase of the project, working towards the key date of the 3rd of April 2022. So we've got our senior managers recruited and they're going to start in the next few weeks, and the next key role are the field staff, census field supervisors, and they'll each be responsible for managing approximately 10 to 13 enumerators. You can apply on censusrecruitment.cso.ie. You can only apply online and it'll close on the 3rd of September or when it reaches 3,000 applicants, whichever is the earlier. Now, in Donegal, we reckon we'll have about 20 CFS positions, as we call them, census field supervisors, across the county. Some of them may slightly go across county borders. And we'll have about 8 to 10 areas where that will cover Gaeltacht areas. So we'll be looking for Irish speakers in those areas.
And then in November, Eileen, the campaign to actually recruit enumerators themselves will begin, and that'll be in the region of 180 to 200 or so of those being sought within Donegal.
Yep, we've about 5,100 enumerators altogether for that we'll be looking for in November. So if you'll have us, we'll come back and talk to you a bit more about that then. But if you're interested in the field supervisor competition, we'll have an information booklet and frequently asked questions on our website. There'll be contact email and phone numbers for you if you have any further queries.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 16 minutes past five and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and Highland Radio Sport understands the Donegal CCC will meet tonight to deal with the objection lodged by beaten county finalist Kilcare. As we know, Niamh Connell made it back-to-back titles by taking a fifth crown, defeating Kilcare on penalties. Now, the first time ever the county final was decided on spot kicks. In the days after the game, Kilcare lodged an appeal on the basis that the winners took on four substitutes during the two 10-minute periods of extra time, where the rules permit three. If the decision goes in favour of Kilcare, Niamh Connell could be fined forced to play a replay or lose the game. Moving on to the Paralympics, and Team Ireland has had its first medal at the Paralympic Games. Ellen Keane took gold after winning the SB8 100 metres breaststroke in a time of 1 minute 19.93 seconds earlier on today. The Dubliner smashed her previous personal best by almost 2 seconds in Tokyo today. A bronze medalist in Rio 5 years ago, the 26-year-old held off the challenge of New Zealand's Sophie Pascoe. And elsewhere, there was a sixth place finish for cyclists Kate George Dunleavy and Eva McChrystal in the B1000 metres time trial. Katie's father, John, hails from Mount Charles. Moving on to soccer, and the Finn Harps against Derry City FAI Cup second round match at Finn Park on Friday night is now sold out. Admission is by ticket only, and attendance capacity cannot be increased due to the maximum attendance permitted due to public health restrictions. The club say tickets or cash admission will not be available on the night and are asking fans not to travel without a purchased ticket. If you're not one of those lucky ticket holders, there's live match commentary on Highland Radio with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle from the kickoff time of 8 o'clock. Here is Declan Boyle.
Harps in really good form, and the last results have been excellent. Obviously getting 3-1s on the bounce really helps. This is obviously a week where they don't have to concentrate on the leagues, on the cups, an opportunity to get into the quarterfinals. Potentially as well, with some of the other teams that are left in the draw, you could get a nice soft considering draw in the quarterfinals as well. So it was a big match for both clubs, and it's an opportunity to get into the last stages. And I suppose Derry will be looking for the same as well. Their overall performances have been very good. An excellent performance in Sligo, with Ronan Boyce popping up and scoring a great goal just to get 3 points from them. So Rory Higgins has them really playing to a high level. They're getting results. So both teams coming on in good form. So it's just going to be who performs the best on the night. And I'm really looking forward to it.
You can hear more from Declan on the Score programme tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Elsewhere, Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny says he's looking forward to their upcoming World Cup qualifiers. The Dubliner today named a 25-man squad for the upcoming games against Portugal, Azerbaijan and Serbia. Nathan Collins earned a first call-up, but there was no place for the likes of Darren Randolph and James McCarthy. The Irish boss says the prospect of playing in front of home support at the Aviva Stadium is one that excites him.
What we want to do is put in a strong performance against Portugal and certainly take that into the two home games. We're excited about the two home games as well. It'd be amazing for everyone to experience that, playing in front of the Irish support. You know, I'm sure it'll be a really passionate Aviva Stadium. They'll want to get behind the players, the supporters will want to get behind the players, and that'll be special.
Seamus Coleman, Shane Duffy, James McLean and Ronan Curtis are all in that squad. Well, on the pitch tonight, Shamrock Rovers, they trail Flora Tallinn 4-2 ahead of their second leg of the Europa Conference League playoff. The winner will advance to the group stage with progression worth in the region of €3 million for the Hoops. Kickoffs at 7:45. At the same time, in the same competition, Spurs, they host Paços de Ferreira of Portugal. Spurs trail 1-0. And Celtic, they continue their bid to make the Europa League group stages tonight. They hold a 2-0 lead on their away, ahead of their away leg in the tie with AZ Alkmaar. That one starts at 7:15. In the same competition, Rangers have a 1-0 lead over Alcaset of Armenia. Head coach Steven Gerrard and six players weren't able to travel due to the COVID outbreak at the club. It's just approaching half time. It's 0-0 in the second leg. The Alcaset team are down to 10 men. In other news, reports suggest Cristiano Ronaldo could be poised to join Manchester City from Juventus. It's believed the 36-year-old has already agreed terms with the two clubs now negotiating a fee. And it's also understood that Real Madrid have made a second bid for PSG striker Kylian Mbappe. The Paris club have offered a reported figure of £145.6 million after having an initial £137 million bid for the World Cup winner rejected. In golf, Shane Lowry, in the early stages of his opening round of the PGA Tour's BMW Championship, he picked up an early birdie and he sits in 1-under par through 7 holes. Rory McIlroy is among the late starters in Baltimore. Aaron Wise is the early leader. He's on 3 under par. And just finally, to remind you, the score programme this evening after the 7 o'clock news, Oisin Kelly looks ahead to the FAI Cup Northwest Derby between Finn Harps and Derry City, with Declan Boyle, Ollie Horgan and Rory Higgins. Tyrone there chasing a double at Croke Park on Saturday, with the Red Hand Minors and Seniors in action at GAA headquarters. We speak with Tyrone broadcaster and journalist Paddy Hunter, plus Brendan Herbie McDade previews this weekend's Donegal Half Marathon. That's the score programme after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. It's 22 minutes past 5, and as it's a Thursday, it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about the grain harvest and also a case study of a farmer with a mix of sheep and cattle and what is likely to happen to his farm payments under the new cap. But first this evening, the Donegal Mule Group will host its annual sale of 1,750 mule hoggets and ewe lambs tomorrow in Stranorlar Mark from 6 o'clock. The Donegal Mule Group will also hold the biggest mule sale in the southeast at Carnew Mart on Tuesday, September the 14th. Meanwhile, farmers are reminded that Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue has announced that the public consultation on the draft interventions proposed for the 2023-2027 CAP strategic plan have been extended. Farmers now have until Friday, the 3rd of September, to make submissions under the consultation process. Well, trying to assess the impact of farm payments under the new CAP proposals is no mean task. This week, Pat O'Toole, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, has been looking at how, under modelling, a typical extensive suckler and sheep farmer could see their payments affected under the new CAP. I spoke to him earlier today. Pat, you've been delving into what could be coming down the track for some farmers under the new CAP, and you've had some modelling which has produced some interesting figures for what I suppose you could call is a typical extensive suckler and sheep farmer. So give us a little bit more detail.
Sure. Well, we've been trying to model out various real-life farm situations, or virtual but very typical. So anyone who's picked up the paper in the last couple of weeks may have seen our previous examples. Paddy Murphy, Johnny O'Brien were two suckler farmers who had 50 cows each. Some very different stories. One had very high payments because he had kept all the cattle and subbed them out during the reference years, and we tracked his progress through the proposals, through the Chose reforms and through the next 5 years. We did the same with a farmer who had 50 sucker cows intensive, but had sold on the weanlings with all the subs on them and had moderate payments. But we decided to look at someone we've called Tommy O'Brien. So Tommy is bang average in many ways. He's got the average farm size, 32 hectares. It's mixed land. He's extensive. 22 of those hectares are lowland, but 10 are commonage. He has the average ewe flock of 100 ewes back in the reference years, and it hasn't moved much since. It's gone up about 5 ewes, I think. He had the average sucker cow herd of 14 suckers. And his farm model was very simple. He was selling the lambs as store lambs. He was selling the calves as weanlings. So again, selling on the subsidies. The only subsidies he was getting, which comprised his direct payment, were the sucker cow premium, the extensification on his sucker cows, the slaughter premium for a couple of cull cows, and the ewe premium. And that left him with entitlements of about €230 in the reference year, which would have been under the average entitlement value. So he'd below average payments. And we've tracked him right through to 2026. Tommy would have been perceived as the kind of guy who was working hard and who would have been driving his farm on as best he could, and who would have been disadvantaged by the previous reforms. And that's why we picked this example. And the reality is that he barely gained under the Cholos reforms, and he barely gained under these reforms. €440 increase in 2026 on the payment he started with in 2005. So it's been 20 years of swings and roundabouts for people like Tommy O'Brien. I'll be honest, it surprised me when I started to model out these farms. we created some farm profiles, and we just followed the figures and from 2002 through the 25 years almost to see where they would go. And I've had quite a few surprises. My perceptions of how the various cap reforms have affected different types of farmers have been thrown up in the air. I don't know what this means politically, but he's yet another farmer who is not gaining much from the current reform. And the question is, is this not the kind of farmer who is economically very vulnerable? We know that at least 90% of any sheep and suckler farmer's income is coming from direct payments. While he isn't experiencing a hit on his payments, his relatively low payments of 20 years ago have barely stirred, and we all know that the cost of living has rocketed in that time.
If we look at farmers around Donegal, and we've such a diverse range of farming practices, and we have this, you know, one size certainly does not fit all. I mean, it's nigh impossible for anybody to really predict where it's all going to go and just what they're going to end up with in their pocket.
Yeah, we have a couple of weeks to go in the consultation process. Really, every farmer should be engaging with the process at this point. I know it's complicated and it's boring, but it's important. And there are three elements, really. You have what's called CRISS, C-R-I-S-S, and that's effectively front-loading. That's redistributing payments from larger to smaller. It will take 5%. The proposal is, and the one we're basing our modelling on, is it will take 5% of the Pillar 1 envelope, which is 59 million, and it will give it out equally to every farmer on their first 30 hectares. Now, of course, not every farmer has 30 hectares. If you've only 10 hectares, you will only get paid on the 10 hectares. The current proposal is to pay €22 per hectare in that. That's one. So that's CRISS. The other one then, eco schemes, 25%, 300 million taken out of the cap funds, and that money will be redistributed. The way the department are modelling it is that every qualifying farmer, and they're predicting most farmers will qualify, will receive a flat rate per hectare payment, and they're calling it €64 a hectare. So that would be assuming that every farmer gets it. And then the third element then is convergence, where higher entitlements are cut to bring up the value of lower entitlements. The reality is that CRISS is doing most of the converging this time because it's taking large slices out of payments, and convergence is less crucial this time than it was under the Cholos reforms. But if farmers can get their heads around those three elements and start to calculate out slide rule off the analysis we're doing where they will end up, they will get a reasonably good idea of how this cap reform, which is hugely important, will impact on their future.
Now, we have had these town hall meetings. People have been encouraged to make submissions by email or post to the department. Things are going to go on, the whole consultation process, maybe a little bit longer. But the end game, nevertheless, is in sight.
Yes, the department must forward the finalised national strategy for CAP, which has to be detailed. It's what we're going to do and how we're going to do it to the commission before the end of the year. And the commission will either accept or reject it. The new proposals will come to life in 2023. Next year will be the same as this year, totally unchanged.
Just changing tack slightly, Pat. The good weather of late means the harvest is certainly moving on well. Prices are certainly edging upwards for grain.
Yeah, prices are good. North of 200 for feeding barley is common now. That's green, that's at 20% fresh off the combine. Moistures are actually typically much lower than that because we're having beautiful harvest weather at the moment. About three quarter of the spring harvest is completed at this stage. Yields are good, prices are exceptional. I think that tillage farmers will be very happy with their lot, though concerned about input prices, which are going up even faster than grain prices are. Straw availability is decent. We have had about somewhere in the region of 25,000 acres, 10,000 hectares committed to the straw chopping scheme. But having said that, yields of straw are much higher than last year. And I think there's more straw in the country than there was this time last year. This weather will allow everyone to grab that straw, bale it up in good nick. And as a result, I think that whatever way price will settle, there should be a reasonable supply of straw. But grain prices are up and ration prices will follow because it's also true that maize prices are rising, And proteins prices are rising. Farmers are getting good money for their beans, their oilseed rape. And that means that it's a great year for grain farmers. It's going to be an expensive winter for sheep and cattle and dairy farmers and pig and poultry farmers. Anyone that's feeding their animals, they'll spend money. And there's particular concern around the pig sector at the moment.
And that was Pat O'Toole, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Finally, the IFA in Donegal is continuing its monthly calendar picture competition. Entries can still be sent in for August to the Donegal IFA Facebook page. And this month's judge is Highland Radio's Greg Hughes. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Let's look at the weather forecast. And Met Eireann tell us it'll stay dry and warm this evening with sunny spells, staying cloudier along the coast with some mist and fog at times, light northeasterly or variable breezes. It'll stay dry tonight with clear spells with patches of mist and fog, light variable breezes again in lows temperatures of 13 to 15 degrees Celsius. Any mist and fog will clear early, leaving a bright warm day with spells of sunshine, just a slight chance of an isolated shower near the west coast during tomorrow afternoon. Highest temperatures tomorrow 20 to 23 degrees Celsius. Slightly cooler in coastal areas in a light easterly breeze. Main stories in brief this evening. NPHET says 90% of over 16s should be fully vaccinated before any further easing of restrictions. That mark is likely to be reached by October. Public health officials have written to the government with this advice ahead of a roadmap being published next Tuesday. Crowding and social distancing challenges have been raised as concerns to the full return of full capacity on public transport. That's expected to take place next week. The Irish Congress of Trade Unions wants the Taoiseach to stagger the return to work. In the 2 weeks to midnight on Tuesday, there were 1,781 COVID-19 cases in Donegal, an incidence rate of 1,118.8 cases per 100,000 people. That's the third highest rate in the country. 1,550 new cases confirmed north of the border today. We're back with headlines at 6. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 26th of August. The death has occurred of Violet Gibson, née Gamble, Brocca, St Johnson. Violet's remains will repose at her sister Bertha Gamble's residence at Transala, St Johnson, from 7 o'clock this evening. The house is private to family only, please. Funeral service will take place there at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the St Johnson Presbyterian Church Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice and the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Nora O'Doherty, 21 Belmont Crescent, Derry. Nora's remains will arrive at St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn, Derry at 6 o'clock this evening to repose overnight with Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. Social distancing guidelines will be adhered to in the church and cemetery. Funeral service can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Pennyburn. The death has taken place of Tony Stevenson, 32, Towncastle Road, Strabane. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Aware NI, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/lecpatrick. The death has occurred of Sister Mercedes O'Donnell, Convent of Mercy, Ballyshannon. Her remains are reposing at St Anne's Convent, Ballyshannon, until 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Patrick's Church, Ballyshannon, with interment in Killymard Cemetery, Donegal Town. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Ordis Fixwifna Patients Comfort Fund. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/St Patrick's Ballyshannon. The death has taken place of Kevin Harkin, 42, The Orchard, Strabane and formerly of Carrigans. Funeral from his home tomorrow morning at 25 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12 noon, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Cancer Research, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at melmountparish.com/webtv. And the death has taken place of Maureen Egan, 8 Kilderry, Muff. Maureen's remains are en route to Sacred Heart Church, Muff, to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted.